Chapter 75. Jesse drove as quickly as he dared. He didn't want to use the portable cherry top he carried in his car, just in case. He didn't approve of using lights and sirens, unless they were absolutely necessary. Besides, he didn't want to risk freaking Monty out any more than he already was. "Officer Crane," Jesse said. "Molly. She was onto you and Salter. She told me the night Vic Prado came into my office that she thought you and Salter knew Prado. She said that Salter looked pretty angry at the sight of Vic. Officer Crane's a pretty good-looking woman. Obviously a pretty good cop, too. Her instincts about the three of you knowing each other were right on. So let me ask you this a different way, Counselor. Did the business dealings between Salter and Vic have anything to do with Martina Penworth's murder and the kid's abduction?" Bernstein didn't answer, but the lines of his tortured expression etched themselves more deeply into his handsome face. Jesse navigated the twisty road up to the big old brick Victorian, the Explorer's tires spitting out pieces of gravel as it moved across the driveway. He stopped the SUV right in front of the porch. "What is this place?" Jesse said, "Get out." It wasn't a suggestion. When they were out of the car, Jesse told Monty to wait where he was. Jesse disappeared around the side of the house. Feeling weak and hungover, Bernstein sat down on the porch steps. The wind was much stronger here, and the air smelled more intensely of the sea. He could hear the waves rolling ashore down the bluff. He thought he heard something else, too, something like the sound of breaking glass. But the wind noise and his fuzzy-headedness made it hard to know. When the front door opened, Jesse was standing on the other side of the threshold. "Come on in, Monty," Jesse said. He stood and went into the house. Jesse had turned on the lights and had started up the stairs without waiting for the lawyer. "Where are we?" Monty said. There was no answer. The lawyer finally caught up to Jesse at the open door to a second-floor bedroom. Jesse pointed to a crusted red splotch on the floor, on the right side of the bed as they faced it. "This is your employer's house, Monty, and right there's where Martina Penworth's body landed. You know, she was only 18, and she was murdered for no other reason than she was an inconvenience. I know you're a criminal defense attorney, and I know you were once a prosecutor, but can you even conceive of someone being killed because they were an inconvenience?"
"He's no longer my employer," Bernstein spoke in a whisper.
"What?"
"Salter fired me tonight. He's gone."
"Then tell me what's going on. Get it off your chest."
"You know I'm bound by attorney-client privilege even now."
"Keep staring at her blood, then tell me that again. You want to come to the station and look at the forensics and the autopsy photos?" Bernstein burst out of the room, running down the stairs, tripping face forward down the last three steps. He crawled through the front door. Jesse found him on his knees on the porch, dry heaving, gasping for breath. Jesse sat down on the porch steps, waiting. A minute later, Bernstein sat down beside him.
"You deal in hypotheticals, Chief Stone," Monty said, addressing Jesse formally.
"When I have to."
"What if I were to tell you that a hypothetical former client of a hypothetical lawyer was blind with vengeance for an incident involving a hypothetical son and his hypothetical girlfriend?"
"I'm listening, Counselor."
"What if I were to tell you that part of this hypothetical lawyer's job was to help arrange for that vengeance, and that said revenge was about to be carried out, and that it involved an innocent woman?"
"Innocent woman as in Vic Prado's wife?"
"Hypothetically speaking."
"I'd say that hypothetical lawyer better find a way to speak up unless he wants the kind of blood on his hands that he'll never get off. Maybe it would motivate the lawyer to know that Kayla Prado had once been the Paradise police chief's girlfriend."
Monty Bernstein went deadly still for a moment, then said, "They call him Mr. Peepers."